Good morning. It is great to be with y'all here again this morning on this Palm Sunday morning. You know, growing up, Palm Sunday started off like, for me, my favorite week in the church year when I was a little kid. I mean, on Palm Sunday, they'd give you these palms, and we'd be swinging them and raising them around, and little kids, and we're like, yeah, right? And I would be like, I have my little brother and sister, and I'm just like annoying them with that until mom and dad takes it away. And the week begins with Palm Sunday and ends with chocolate bunnies. It was awesome growing up. It was so much fun. And they had some of the best stories during Holy Week. I mean, stories of like ears getting cut off and Jesus walking into the temple and flipping over the tables, right? I would have loved to walk into my Sunday school room on Sunday morning and walked up to the Sunday school teacher's desk and be like, liar. But you know, it's interesting that for us, Palm Sunday means something very different than it did that first Palm Sunday to the first century Jewish people. You see, at the point of the first Palm Sunday, the Jews had been occupied by the Romans since 64 BC. And in fact, before the Romans were the Syrians and the Egyptians and the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and people after people occupied Israel. For about 500 years, Israel had not had a king on the throne, ruling it as a sovereign state, but yet it had been occupied by other people who would tax it and rule it. And they were tired. To give you a little perspective, this year America will celebrate its 243rd birthday. 500 years of occupation. Needless to say, they were tired of being oppressed. They were tired of paying taxes to someone. They were tired of the unrest. They were tired of being the laughingstock of all the nations. They wanted to be back on top. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to make Israel great again. So when Jesus showed up, and rumors began to spread about the possibility of him being the Messiah, the one who had been prophesied about, the one who was about to come, it gave them hope. And they started thinking, well, if this guy can raise people from the dead, if he can make the blind see, if he can make the lame walk, then leading us to conquer the Romans can be a snap. With Jesus leading us, we can do this. Yes, we can. When people heard that Jesus was riding in Jerusalem like a conquering and victorious king, they grabbed their coats, they grabbed palm branches, and they headed to be part of the celebration. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They sure weren't Lutherans. The Messiah had come. Praise be to God. He had come to make all things right. He had come to change everything. People couldn't wait to see what was going to happen. Especially this week, the Passover week. Isn't it symbolic that God set the Israelites free from the slavery of the Egyptians? And we celebrate that at Passover. And now the Messiah has come. And he's going to set us free from the Romans. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He would be the one to lead the revolt, to overthrow these evil oppressors. At least that's what they thought. You see, people expected that the promised Messiah, the one who had been prophesied about, would come to restore the power and the prestige of Israel here on earth. They were expecting that the Messiah would bring back the independence and prosperity that Israel had seen like in the days of King David. They were looking for an earthly warrior, an earthly king, to conquer and rule and reign here on earth. Yet that's not what Jesus came to do. Yes, he was the Messiah. Yes, he came and he had a mission to accomplish. And yes, he did come to set the captives free. However, he didn't do it the way that Israel thought he should have. I mean, stop and think about it for a second. What did Jesus come into town on?
That wasn't a rhetorical question. I'm seeing if you're actually awake and paying attention, yeah?
A donkey. In fact, it was the colt, the foal of a donkey. I mean, you would think that if a king was going to come in and show his conquering power and how he's going to reign and rule and come in, he was going to come in on a steed, a mighty stallion, a beast of burden, a donkey. It's humble. It's kind of peaceful. I mean, what is Jesus communicating? Well, we know that he's communicating that he's about to humble himself to the point of death, death on a cross. Yet it would seem that the people of the time really overlooked this fact. Why? Because they wanted God to do what they thought he should do for them. Yet right after this story in Matthew, he rides into the temple and he walks into the temple and he starts throwing over the money changers' temple. He starts casting them out and talking about, this is supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the Israelites, I'm sure, are scratching their head going, well, wait a minute. This isn't how God is supposed to work. This isn't what the Messiah is supposed to do. Is it? It would kind of be like a church and having the pastor retire or take a call away and the attendance start to plummet. And so the church goes out and they find the one who they believe will restore the glory of the good old days. The church that once was. And they hire this young charismatic pastor to come in and restore it. And the charismatic pastor comes in and starts changing the worship and the way people do things. And they're like, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. It's not meeting my expectations. You see, so often we like to put God in a box, don't we? We like to tell God what we want him to do, what we think it should look like. We like to treat God like a genie in a lamp that is, when we want him around and it's convenient, we rub that lamp and we ask for our three wishes or tell him what we're expecting out of him. And well, God, you need to do the things that we want you to do. Problem is that's not how God works. You see, we love it when God does what we want him to do, but really God works the way that he wants to work, doesn't he? We love when our plan comes together, yet the reality is it's just really not about us, at least how we think it might be about us. You see, the people of Israel wanted a conquering king riding on a war horse, but Jesus came as a humble servant riding on a colt. The people of Israel wanted someone who would sit on the throne and rule, yet Jesus came to hang on the cross and die. The people of Israel wanted their Messiah to conquer the Romans, and Jesus came to conquer sin, death, and the power of the devil. The people of Israel wanted the one who would establish their kingdom. But Jesus came to establish his Father's kingdom. As it says in our devotion for today out of the Saint and Sinner's devotional, in riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, Jesus signaled something different. He would not bring peace by acts worthy of earthly glory. He would not obtain conquered by chasing out foreign forces and assuming an earthly throne. He would achieve peace another way. Jesus' humble ride into the capital city of Israel showed that he would achieve peace that no earthly ruler could in the way that God himself could. You see, Israel was looking for violence and for armor and power and anger and wrath and for a king that would rule here on earth. So often our sinful nature seeks out the same, doesn't it? But here with Jesus, there's only kindness, justice, salvation, mercy, and everything good. In short, he dispenses the sweetness and mercy of God. He is just because he justifies. He is Savior because he saves. These are the qualities in which no king here on earth could ever bring to the throne. But that's why Jesus came. To give up his life, to bear our burden of sin. He came to die so that you and I might live. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God had Christ, who was sinless, take on our sin so that we might receive God's approval through him. You see, the events of this week are not so that Israel could be made great again, but so that we might be reconciled and restored in our relationship with the Father. Palm Sunday is significant, but not for the reasons that people originally thought. You see, Palm Sunday begins a series of events that will change everything for you, for me, for the first century Jews, and for the world. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Christ has died. Christ is risen. You are good Lutherans. And Christ will come again. Amen. Amen.